Shafter, we're just, I think I hadn't finished a few lines in the Gemara. So we had read the Mishnah. if you remember, the Mishnah on Samach Amid Beis had said that if you have three women sleeping in one bed, it doesn't matter where the blood is found, they're all tameus. In our Mishnah, distinctions are being drawn between where it's found, the outside, the inside, the middle, and how they enter the bed. So how come why is it that the Mishnah on Samach Amid Beis never makes any such distinction? So the Gemara says, "Ma'ishna reisha d'lamaflig, ma'ishna seif takamaflig." Amar Rabbi Ami b'mishulavos. The way Rashi explains mishulavos, I guess it was a very, very small bed. They were almost sort of like they were stuck against one another, and therefore, it's really easy that the blood could wind up from any one of them, any place on the bed. Okay, the Gemara continues. Vodka achas lama lelemisne lemaze dome. Why does the Mishnah bother with the analogy? In other words, fundamentally speaking, it has nothing to do with our inyan. Everybody agrees in our inyan. Then you quote a Lamaha Davar Domer, which is a little odd. Why is Lamaha Davar Domer a little odd? Because it's not Domer. Because what do the Chachamim say by the three piles? If you check one and you don't find it, it's Tahor and the others are Tameh. You check two, they're Torim, and the other is Tameh. And if you check three, what's the din? Tahor. And what's the din by Nida? By the Nidos? By the women? Tameos. So the Gemara says, Lama lelemis lima azedomer, hachi kama lehu ramer lerabbanon. Maishna bedam de lo palgisu, umaishna begal de palgisu. Why do you argue on me by gal, but not by dam? Why aren't you consistent? Rabbana bishlama hasam ema orim netala. It's possible that an animal managed to grab the kezayis basar, and therefore it could be the kezayis basar isn't there anymore. However, elahacha haydam hecha asa. The dam came from one of the women. Right? And if you don't know which one it came from, well, it still came from one of them. Pretty straightforward. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Meir, Masa b'shikma shel kfar saba, shehayu machzikim batuma. There was a sycamore tree in Kfar Saba, and they thought there was tuma underneath it. There was a tradition, batkav lamatsu. They didn't find it. Liyamim nashva bo haruach va'akratu. Then the wind blew. It must have been a major storm. It ripped up the tree. V'nimsa gugol ha'shameis tchuva lo bikaro. And they found the skull. They found the skull at its base. Did any of you doing tafiyomi? Seriously, I'm not doing this for making fun. Do you remember the it's interesting. I'm not doing this for making fun of Metzger, specifically. Okay. Who has suffered much from the brunt of my comments in the last year. So you remember the Gemara Nazir had a shayla, is it Shidra Vigul Golas or Shidra Ogul Golas?
I don't understand those, like, five daf about, like, cadavers and those.
So anyway, but even if you don't understand the answer, the Gemara, that was the easier part. The Gemara Akasha, when we say, bon etzem kisaora min hames, is metame b'maga over masa. But in order to be metame b'ohel, you have to have more. And there are various permutations of more that you can have. And one of them is Shidra Vigulgolas. And the Gemara Nazir wants to know, do you need both the skull and the spine, or either the skull or the spine? And the reason you need more than just the Etzem Kisara, the Gemara says, because it has to be Etzem Adam. It has to be Nikar Shehu Shel Adam. So the skull or the spine is, you know, distinctly human. Etzem Kisara is very tiny. You know, if you're only part of a bone fragment, you know, you need DNA testing to know that it's a human bone. So the Gemara goes through a whole length. I don't know if they came to Maskana. We paskin O Shidra O Gogolas, but interesting, this story should have demonstrated that as well, because if it's buried under the roots of the tree, the only concern you have with Tuma that's buried is Ohel. Right? Ohel comes, guys, in two varieties. There are really three. Right? There's something called Ohel HaHamshacha. When you are under the same roof as a mace or chelek min a mace, there's a bizarre shach that I hope at the end of the year we're going to get to, when we do chasavelos, which I hope we have to pick up the pace a little bit. But the shach seems to claim that all hahamshacha is only a drabanan. Everybody scratches their heads about that. We assume all hahamshacha is a din daraisa. So it's not clear what the shach was talking about. But there may be ways of explaining the kind of case he was talking about. However, there is another kind of ohel. If this is a mace, and we're standing in the open air, and I put my hand over the mace, I'm tameh, because the tumah of the mace is bokas vi ola, bokas vi oredes, you know, based upon the area that it occupies. This Ohel by the Hamesh is more akin to Maga than it is to Ohel in some ways. I'm not going to explain why that matters. But the bottom line is that in the case of being buried underneath the tree, the only Tumah you had to worry about was Tumas Ohel. Because you couldn't touch it or dislodge it. Even if you dislodged it and moved it without touching it, that might be formed by Mihesed, a form of Masa. So if it was a concern, and Rabbi Meir says, ha, you see, we found it. I went off to explain this, to answer a different question. What's Rabbi Meir's comment here? You see that bedikas don't always find the Tumah. So if you know there was Tumah there, and you did bedika, and you didn't find it, that doesn't mean it's not there. It just means you didn't look hard enough. So, but I'm just pointing as an aside, the assumption of this brisa is that Oshidra Ogugolas Tanam, because all that it says was they found the Gugola Shomes there. It's an aside. I'm surprised that this brisa wasn't quoted in that discussion as proof. So anyway, Amru lo Misham Raya, the Chacham Sitra Meir, that's no proof. Emer lo Badku Kol Tzarko. They may not have done a good job checking. Okay? Tanya, Amrav Yose, Maase b'ma'ara shel shichin. They went down to virgin karka. It was smooth as a fingernail. They didn't find anything. Some workers entered that cistern, or that cave, because they wanted protection from the rain. It was pouring outside. And then they must have scraped with their pickaxes. They found a kli which was full of bones. Amru lo misham raya, emer lo badku kol tzarko. Okay. I understand Rabbi Meir's point, but nonetheless, there are ways of doing bedik as well. Tanya, Abba Shol Omer, Masa b'sela b'schoron she machzika batuma, v'lo yachlu chacham l'mibdok b'nei sh'oise meruba. V'haya sham zaken echad, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya shemo. It's a very odd brisa. You know who Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was? Rabbi Yeshua. That's Stam Rabbi Yeshua. It's Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya and Rabbi Lezer ben Horkinus. So, anyway, it's funny. Oza Zaken, his name was Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, so we don't know who this is. Amar Lahen, Havi Lustinim, bring me sheets, Havi Lustinim, Ushran Bamaim, he soaked them in water, Upirsan Aleim. Makom Tara, Yavesh, Makom Tuma, Lach. Why? So that's what I would have assumed. In other words, I think the way Retzvei Rashi explains, that the ground, the lach and yavesh was on the ground. How much water it absorbed. And if the ground had been broken up already, which means there were signs of digging, so then you could assume that there might be something buried there. If it was dry, it wouldn't absorb much water, it's because the ground was not porous. I read recently about some guy who was an archaeologist, but the way he got ahead in archaeology was he looked for different simanim. He used to follow legends where stuff was. He would talk to the Arabs, you know, the Arab shepherds, and he would live amongst them and listen to the shepherds. And he also used to look. There was simanim about disturbed ground and certain kinds of plants that used to grow. And it's very similar in some ways to the same concept here. So anyway, so it was an astute observation of how to do a quick form of bedikah. And I didn't ask you to read further, but I want to read further because it's a very important Gemara to know. Tana hua bar shemila Yishmael ben Nesanya chalalim. That was the pit that Yishmael ben Nesanya, who assassinated Gedalia, filled with all the people he killed. V'chsev abar asher hishlich sham Yishmael es kol pigrei anashim asher hika biyad Gedalia. That were killed at the hands of Gedalia. So the Gemara says, v'chi Gedalia haragan, v'la Yishmael haragan. Gedalia didn't kill them. Yishmael killed them. If you read the story, this is not Medrash. This is just, any of you learn Sefer Yirmiyahu? Right, so it's a befeirish in them. It's, you know, when I first learned it, it was like, oh, this is actually the story of how Gedalia was killed. Yochanan ben Kareach, who was one of the communal leaders, went to Gedalia and said, Yishmael's planning to assassinate you. He was sent by the king of Ammon to assassinate Gedalia. And so Gedalia said, you know, and he said, let me just kill him quietly, and this way, why should the rest of the Jews be exiled? Gedalia said, why are you lying about him? It's not true. Don't say such things. And of course, he was assassinated. So he should have been choshesh for Yochanan ben Kareach's warning, and he wasn't. And therefore, Gedalia was held responsible for the death of all the people who were killed along with him. Omar Rava, Hay Lishana Bisha, Afa Pide Lekabule No Miboy, Mecha Shle Miboy. Therefore, Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to accept it and believe it fully, but you have to be suspicious of it. You have to be careful about it. You have to be wary of it. Hanu Bei Galila, Dinafak Elayu, Kola Dekotu Nafsha. There were some Galileans who rumors had spread that they were had murdered people. Asu Lekame de Rabbi Tarfon. They came to Rabbi Tarfon. Amrulein, the Marine on Mar. Will you hide us? Because the authorities are going to try to catch us. Amar Lehu, Hechi Navi. What should I do? Ilo at marinichu chazu yasaychu. If I don't hide you, they're going to catch you and kill you. At marinichu, but should I hide you and aid you? Ha'amr rabbonon ha'ili shanabisha afal gad de lekabula lemi boy mechash lemi boy. You know, I'm not going to believe it that I would, you know, absolutely categorically assist the Romans in capturing you. But I also don't want to possibly assist murderers, and you know I have to be careful about these rumors. So therefore, he said, "Zil atun tamu nafshaychu." Find a way to hide. I'm not going to turn you in, but I can't aid and abet in hiding you either. It's a very, very important Gemara. It belongs in the Maseches Aras and Rachan and the Sugis of Lashon Hara, but nonetheless, it happens to be buried at the end of Nida. Okay. Anyway, so this is the. There are some other Gemaras. There are a few other Gemaras here and there about stuff. The issue of Big Dad and Tzivonim comes up a little later in the parak. But basically, we have enough. You have enough now in terms of doing, going through the tour in Beis Yosef. The one part I'll tell you, we're going to start reading now. But the one part that I would ask, not ask, it's up to you, but you don't need to do, especially if you're moving slowly. And this is the longest siman, I believe, in Hilchos Nida. In my edition of the Tour Beis Yosef, which is a little different, I think, than yours, they're about 40 pages. It's a little longer than the Siman Kuf Tzadi, Kuf Pei Tes, which is on Vestos. These are the two monster simanim. In size, not in content. Chas v'shalom. So you can skip, theoretically, Os Beis. Beis and Gimel. Okay, you can do it if you want. It's not terribly difficult. I've mentioned this to you, and I'm going to read through quickly as I start to read the Torah. I shall have some of you read the Torah, but I'm going to comment on the Beis Yosef. So I'm going to have you read that part, but I don't expect you to go through that part of the Beis Yosef yourself. I'll give you a little material so you can sort of start to move. But starting tomorrow, and we'll see about tomorrow, I'm considering, if you're all showing up in Seder and are going to come back after lunch, to give you the entire day to try to plow through as much as possible of the Beis Yosef. And this is sort of a good time to do that, but you really have to put in the time. If you don't come or you end up cutting out time, it defeats the entire purpose. I said I'm considering. I'm considering, so I don't know yet. In other words, there is Seder and Shir tomorrow. What we're doing during Shir time is still an open question. Yossi? Well, you could if you, it shouldn't take you so long to run through the tour. You know, it's 40 pages, but there are only a few lines of tour on each page. But once you do that, you should be able to do that in short order and come. And you don't have to get everything. You know, there may be some sheets that are shown them I haven't had you look at yet, but you'll get them from the tour in the Beis Yosef, mostly the Rashba, because Kedarko, the Rashba. Remember, I think I've said this, but a lot of the material in the tour in Beis Yosef here comes from the Rashba and the Torah Sabayis. I'm not insisting, you know, in a perfect world, I would have you read every Torah Sabayis, but I think that you can, for the most part, get what you need just from the Beis Yosef, who cites it at length. So, anyway. Okay, so you could run through the tour first, but you should have plenty of time to get working on the Beis Yosef. So, anyway, so who would like to read? I will comment, you, but you will read. Reuben?
Dvar Torah. אין הישם את המאה ולא עשו לבעלה עד תגיד שיצא אדם מבשרה. וחכמים גזרו על הכתם שנמצא בגופה או בבדיה שהתמאה ועשו לבעלה אפילו שלא בגישה ואפילו בת העצמה ומצאה את הרבה.
Stop. Okay. So דבר תורה, אישה אסנה מטעמה without הרגשה. עד שתרגיש שיצא אדם מבשרה. Let me put it to you that way. But if she wasn't מרגישה, so the חכמים will go there to mask some. Even if she'd בדיקה, and found herself tahora, because we're afraid that she, in other words, if she found, what is this case? Alpha pishalo hirgisha, vafilu bat ka'atza matza tahora. What happened?
She saw
kesem, she never had her gasha, she does a bedika and finds no blood internally. Nonetheless, the chachamim were gozer. Now, just what is the makor in terms of the fact that that you need a hargasha and that it's not mitam and tod shetargish b'vsara? There are two makoros. The first, earliest makor is? I understand, in terms of rabbinic literature.
Shmuel?
No, Shmuel second. That's the point that should be made. And when Beis Yosef quotes it, he quotes it in proper order, which is first you turn to the Mishnah with Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim. You tend to think Shmuel is coming first because I gave you Shmuel initially at the beginning of the year and because in the Gemara Shmuel comes first. When you read the Mishnayos, Rabbi Akiva said to the Talmidim, Dam Yezav Avasara, Dam Velo Kesem. Right? Shmuel is coming to give us a more precise definition of what is considered Kesem as opposed to Dam. So you put those two pieces together, it's the Mishnah on, I don't know, Nun Chesem at base, and Shmuel's comments on Nun Zayin Amit Aleph. Now, the Beis Yosef here also adds, and this is my intention as we go through the tour, you've gone through the Beis Yosef, hopefully, but I'm going to summarize the Beis Yosef, that's my job, to try to summarize the Beis Yosef for you. The Beis Yosef here quotes that sheet of the Trumas HaDeshen. The Trumas HaDeshen says that if she has Hargasha, even though she doesn't find anything, that she's Tmeya, and the Beis Yosef quotes as a Yesh Mishomer, no one arguing, the Darkei Moshe earlier had really rejected it, but he doesn't comment in the Shulchan Aruch here at all, it's a Machlokas Achronim, whether or not to be Choshesh for that situation. It's a very, as I said, I had this bizarre case come up, but it's the first time I've ever had it, and I suspect that people, that this is a Shaila you will virtually never encounter, because almost no woman even have the Hargasha. I would probably Paskin L'chumra. Yeah, the Ramah says nothing. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to be no Del Chumra. Maybe Gedolim Betovim many would be Makel under certain circumstances. Yes. She has a Hargasha. She has no. She finds nothing. Now, where I might be inclined to think about being Makel is the situation. Bizman Hazeh might be that maybe the Truma Sadeshan would be both there. She's wearing underwear. It's impossible. The blood got lost. In the same way.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility. That would be a tzad.
People have underwear, so like you
that's
have
what I said. So arguably, the Trumas HaDeshen might not be applicable. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is a route that one might go. It's such a rare circumstance that it's hard to comment. Yes, it's...
When we say... I mean, I guess it's probably an unanswerable question, but a Hargasha, in theory, isn't that a feeling of Tisa Bekeber?
Well, that's a question... The Gemara does not say that. The Gemara says, Achitargish Dam Bifsara. That, by the way, I think provides some fair ammunition, arguably, for the Nevi Yehuda Shita, that it's Zivas Davar Lach. And I think that women are probably much more aware of that. So it's, again, you know, for my Shita, I find the Nevi Yehuda appealing, because when a woman gets her period, typically that's what she's going to experience. Because to me, it's, again, it's hard to, you know, beat a dead horse, but I assume that that's Nida Daraisa. All right, continue. Okay, so he treats Kesem like a Re'iyah, and that means that you need to have Shiva Nikiyim. So we haven't done this yet, although I think you may have figured it out already. When a woman is a Nida generally, the way it works is, with the Chumra of Rabbi Zera, of Gnos Yisrael, I guess you would know this anyway from Zaba, is that the last day she bleeds, you know, when she sort of stopped bleeding, she attempts to do a Hefsek Tara, which means to see that she's not bleeding anymore. And if she's not bleeding anymore, then she's Leveshes Levonim. The day that she does the Hefsek Tara on doesn't count towards the Shem Nikim. That day is still a day of Tumah. In fact, even if she wasn't bleeding as far as she knows, if she didn't do the Hefsek Tara, in other words, you'll get the Shaila frequently. A frequent Shaila you get is that a woman forgot to do the Hefsek Tara, and now it's post-Shkia. And is there any chance, is there any way to do it? And the answer is, in principle, there's a few minute leniency after Shkia, where we might be able to assume that maybe it's Tum Bod Yom. But after that point, the answer is, it's too late. The Hefsek Tara now goes to the next day. And then, in other words, if it's Sunday night going into Monday, if she didn't get it in before Shkia, it's going to be a bigger problem this time of year. Right? She wasn't in a place where she could do the Hefsek Tara, she couldn't find the public bathroom, wherever it was. You're going to get that Shaila and then to do it. And the answer is, at a certain point, it's too late. She can do the Hefsek Tara, but that will count as Monday will be the day when she seek of a Tara. Tuesday will be the first day that she counts.
Mm-hmm.
Just if you want to also understand the mathematics, if she does a Hefsek Tara on Wednesday day, she's going to end up going to the mikvah Wednesday night of the next week. In other words, because Wednesday will not count, but Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Wednesday night, when the 7 days are completed, she's going to go to the mikvah. So that's a common issue. So the Torah says that for Ksamim, you also require Shiva Nikim and Hefsek Tara. There is one Shita. There's one Shita that disagrees with this. Rabbeinu Yerucham said that Sheskimu Kala Poskim, that Ksamim requires Shiva Nikim. The Beis Yosef took exception to that, even though he doesn't argue on the Psach. The Rambam says that Ksamim don't require Shiva Nikim. When a woman finds a Kesem, if it was the shear, only one gris ve'od, well, you know it wasn't three re'eos, so it's not possible that she's a zava from this. The Rambam says you keep that day plus six more. And you recognize that, of course, as the Takana of Rebbe. I mean, in theory, that's not Takana of Rebbe, that's neither the Raisa, but if she saw a kesem, a gris, you know, of 2 days' worth, you would still only keep six more days. Right? And that's like Takana of Rebbe. So the Rambam believes that the din of Ksamim, the Chumra Benos Yisrael, of Rebbe Zera Benos Yisrael, doesn't apply to Ksamim, and therefore there's no requirement for Shiva Nikim. But we don't accept the Rambam's opinion. Yes?
What is the Hefsek
Tara? So that's a discussion we'll have at the end of the year. In theory, al pidin, it's enough if the woman does a bedika. There are those who are machmir, it depends on the circumstances, that her bedika that she should do is what's called a moch dachuk, that she should use a tampon, something that's inserted in. The Shulchan Aruch will quote it this way. We don't always recommend it for women, but in the theory, that she has a moch in there, all of Ben Hashmashos, and she finds no blood on it. I think it's pretty clear that if it's not the first day of her period, I think pretty much everybody agrees that if she did a bedika, not on the first day when Mekora is Becheskas Pasua, but any day after that, I think everybody agrees that the bedika is moelis. It works as a hefsek tara. But the Shulchan Aruch does say, at least lachatchila, one is supposed to do this moch dachuk. So that's a way. It's the Mishnah's language is hefsika b'tahara. So we call it a hefsek tara. I mean, she ensures what she is. She ensuring it, she is determining that she has stopped bleeding, and then the next day she can start to count as the first day of the Shemini Kim. Yossi?
She has to establish that she doesn't bleed for an entire day.
No.
Sure,
no, what a woman can do, if a woman is having trouble, we say getting Hefsek Tara, she can do a Hefsek Tara today, and if she gets a clean, she can do it multiple times. Let's say there's still some residual blood, until she gets a clean Hefsek, let's say. If she bleeds again tomorrow, it won't have done her any good. She'll do a Bedika, and she's going to find I'm still bleeding. But if she doesn't, then she saved herself a day in effect, right? So you need to end the day Betara. You don't need to have the whole day Betara.
And then you just need seven more.
And then after the day that she did the Hefsek Tara, 7 days after that. Do you have a question or no?
It's very answered. So can you do the Bedika before the Beit HaShemashot, right?
Right.
And then what's then Bedika Yom Rishon?
That's a different din.
Within, you have another Bedika?
Yes. Yeah, we discussed this. Even Teimanim. what qualifies as a Bedika? We discussed what qualifies as a Bedika. You know, the Teimanim have a certain shita that merely wiping constitutes a bedika.
Let me finish
for a second. I spoke with Rib. I saw him in Shlita, who's a big baki, and it's everyone shita says that the outside of the Teimanim for the moment, okay, but everybody agrees on lacha because it's a beferish mishnah, is that you have to do. At least, nobody says that less than one bedika within the 7 days is sufficient. If a woman did a hefsek tara, and then 7 days, and forgot to do a single bedika, lechatchila, the lechatchilas for lechatchilas, which is really only a chumrah, is she's supposed to do two bedikas every day. Okay? We generally, that's very difficult for most women, one bedika every day is the lechatchila. That's clear, Medina, the Mishnah, ideally one bedika every day.
During Shiva Nikim?
During Shiva Nikim. Bidiyeved, there are a bunch of Bidiyeveds, but Lemaisa, there may be different Shittos, I'm going to tell you, following the Aruch HaShulchan, and I think this is Pashtus, is that any one Bidika done within the 7 days suffices. Bidiyeved. However, if she didn't do a single Bidika, and she wakes up on the 8th day, I had Shailas like this, I had a Shaila of a situation, I think I had this more than once. I know, once the woman, the Kala forgot to do a Hefsek Tara, I think. She had stopped bleeding for a while, but she's clearly past the period. In the other case, she had forgot to do a bedika within the 7 days. Within the 7 days, and she woke up on the 8th day and said, oh my God. And the din is that if you don't do bedika till the 8th day, That's day one. The Hefsek Tara counts, but the eighth day is the first day. You need six more days after that. I called Rabbi Simon in that case. He was. That's when you. I'm not going to discuss now what the psak was and the basis of what. But nonetheless, so that's my rule of thumb. So he knows an enormous amount, and you know he also was Mishamish Poskim, which I'm not sure anybody else here has done. So there's what's written in the Shulchan Aruch, and you know what the din is. And then sometimes when you go to the Gedolei HaPoskim, you learn about kulas in very unusual circumstances of certain shittos and so on and so forth. That's for, you know, those are the kinds of shittos that people, you know, that only Gedolei Yisrael are mechadesh. So Rabbi Simon knows a lot of these people. He's a remarkable person. If you have a chance to get to know him, you should get to know him. He talks to such a diverse group of people, and he's extremely open in that regard. And he more than anybody here has spent a lot of time talking to people and learning with people in the yeshiva world. So anyway, so that's when I have the really odd cases, and to know whether there's some posek has actually come up with something, which you're not going to find in this farm, he's the person I speak to. And sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes there's no solution to the problem, but nonetheless. David?
During the Shavuot Yemei Nikiyim, does she need to do
bedikah
every single day?
Lechatchila, yes. One bedikah every day. The Mindina, the Gemara, one bedikah every day. But if she didn't, there's a machlokas atanoim, whether or not you count only the day she did bedikah. One sheet that says that once she stopped doing bedikah, the count restarts. But we paskin bedieved, some would say two bedikos, but I think we paskin, one bedikah bedieved, after the hefsek tara. If you didn't do Hefsek Tara, then that bedikah becomes Hefsek Tara, and you need seven. But if you don't do any bedikos within the 7 days, then you do a bedikah on the eighth day, that's the first day of seven.
Why
does
it go back to one?
What?
Why is that the din that it goes back to one
set? Well, because you haven't had, you know, you can't, in other words, the sphira is now broken from the Hefsek Tara. But let's leave that till the end of the year, until we get to the siman on Kuf Tzadi Hey, I think. Well, Kuf Tzadi Vav. No, Hefsek Tara does not. Hefsek Tara establishes that she's no longer bleeding.
And but that usually counts as her first day.
No. I want to emphasize this. Burn this into your head. Right? Whatever you might forget this year, she does a Hefsek Tara on day X to know that she has stopped bleeding. That day, you don't know that she wasn't bleeding all day. You just know she's not bleeding anymore. And you assume that she doesn't bleed for the rest of the day. You can assume that, or she's using a mochtachok, bein hashmashos. The next day becomes the first day of the Shiva Nikiyim. So she does a bedikah at Monday lunchtime. Does a hefsek tara at Monday lunchtime. Tuesday is the first day that she counts. She'll end up, just from your knowledge, if she does a bedikah on what we call Monday, before Shkia, she goes to the mikvah next week, Monday night, which is really Tuesday. And just, that's how it works out. That's how counting 7 days works out. Okay, is that absolutely clear? A hefsek tara does not count as a bedikah. Now, Rabbi Simon told me, my gar might differ here, but he heard... Can I finish? No. Let me finish. The rebuttal will come after I finish.
There's no rebuttal, just explanation.
I know. Let me finish. So what he said to me was, so David said to me that the Temanim hold that if you did a hefsek tara, bidiyeven, that's enough. That's what you had said to me. Is that correct? Just yes or no? That's
no.
What you had said to me. You didn't say that to me?
No.
What? Just tell what you said to
my
me.
Wife. That's thing.
What's that?
I also misunderstood my wife, but that's a different story.
What did you say to me? What did you say to me? No explanation, please. What did you say to me?
I said that if bidiyeven, you didn't do any bedika, then it's fine.
Okay, so that means, but you did a hefsek tara, right?
But yes, you did have.
Okay, so that's what I said. So what I walked away from the conversation is that the Temanim hold that b'di'evit, if all you did was a hefsek tara, she can still go to the mikvah. So I asked Rabbi Simon the question. What he told me is that maybe you have no idea, but he told me was that the Temanim poskim hold that a woman wiping herself constitutes a bedika. I don't know for which purposes, for all purposes, some purposes. What? For all purposes. Okay.
Wait.
And therefore, since it's inevitable that they've gone to the bathroom and wiped themselves during the Shiva Nikiyim, it means they did at least one bedika. That's what he told me. So that's what they rely upon, that if they only did a hefsek tara, plus they lived. You know, they didn't go on a bladder fast during the... that's my... He didn't say that. That's my sense of humor. During the Shiva Nikiyim. So then, you know that they did at least one bedika. They probably did multiple bedikas. Okay, now, rebuttal or qualification or kana. What do you want to say?
What I learned that it's actually that each community, each little family, the different things, and that that's one family, and that, it, yes, it's according to the Noda Yehuda, but I, that is Lekola Poskim, that if you do a Bedika at least the first day and don't do it afterwards, that will be the evidence fine.
Yeah, that I know.
I the evidence fine, but if you do just the first day and the seventh day, L'chatchila, it's fine.
So there are, I think that it's pretty clear, and I know that maybe the Teimanim hold, but I think it's clear in the Shulchan Aruch and most Rishonim. I don't know of anybody, I don't recall, maybe I'm forgetting, in the Beis Yosef, seeing a sheet that said L'chatchila 1 and 7 is enough. There are those who try to start making the B'dievin 1 and 7 because it's beginning, and we'll see when we get there. Okay? So I just wanted to clarify that there are some. It's not, if you come and ask me the Shaila, yeah, and you're not Taimani for sure, I'm going to tell you that it doesn't count, and you have to start counting from day 8. So anyway, it happens. You know, if you're responsible for supervising those who are teaching kalos, make sure that someone who teaches a kala checks in with her in the last month before, so that everything, to make sure that she does the minimum necessary. Hold her by the hand to do it, because for a lot of young women, if they were sitting and listening on Hilchos Nidashirim, they're probably not going to have a problem. But almost none of them do that. And thus, what they learn first is in their Kala classes. This is new to them. Some of you, as you can see, are confused, and you know much more than any Kala coming from finished Kala classes. And yet, people get confused. And so, you don't want people dealing with chuppas nid at the end when there was no need for it. And it's not that they're actually bleeding and they're nidos, it's just they didn't go through the proper tahara process. So be very, very specific and make sure someone holds their hand through that process. If the kala teacher has too many students that she can't do that, then she has too many students and needs to teach fewer students so that she can do it properly to make sure that she gets them to the wedding. You can't hold their hands and expect them through an entire life. Then they have to come and ask the questions. But to get them to the chuppah, is, you know, it shouldn't be so hard to do. It's not so overwhelming. Yamin?
Really obvious question, just clarification. A hefsek tahara can take place during the seventh.
Yes, we typically do. Unless a woman bleeds really long, it typically is done that way. We don't. What we don't allow, for the Ramah 5 days, the Mechaber 4 days, we don't allow a hefsek tahara to be done until that period has passed, even if she knows she stopped bleeding.
That's
because that chomer polet the shechazer, which we'll deal with again in Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav. What's that?
No.
Okay. Fine. Fine. So, I'm sorry.
Continue with the
Ketana part. We read the Ketana part. Anyway, so the Rambam Shita is that the chomer spenos Yisrael. Vechomer Rabbi Zeir does not apply to Ksamim. There's a passage in the Beis Yosef later, I'll mention it now already. There's a passage which is extremely enigmatic because it seems like he contradicts himself. He knows the Rambam's the Das Yachid. And he's quoting Rabbi Yerucham there as well. It says that the Chumrah of Rabbi Zeir, even after the... He says the following, that the Chumrah of Rabbi Zeir, lehoise ela baroa migufa dahavim daraisa avalo b'ksamim darabana. Now, which is odd because only the Rambam holds that here. Now, the explanation is, although you see that paragraph, you see why I'm bothered and confused. The answer is that's in the context of some who said that after the chumar of Rabbi Zeira, a kesen that's even less than a gris va'od is metame. Why? Where would that be? Why would that be a product of the chumra of Rabbi Zeira? Afilu ros tipostam kechardel. So Rabbi Yerubeinu Yerucham says, beferish, that even after the chum of Rabbi Zeira, Rafil Rosh Tipastam Kechardal, you still need a gris fa'od by Ksamen. And the chum of Rabbi Zeira doesn't apply to Ksamen. The problem I have with that is that the chum of Rabbi Zeira had nothing to do with the shir, as was pointed out. That it's metame, Tipastam Kechardal is metame, that's din d'oraisa. You don't even need Kechardal. It means kol shehu. What was the oraisa was that without a har, is the shiva nekiyim part, not the shir. So why would you think? In other words, the chumra of Rabbi of Benos Yisrael, of course, it wasn't about the shir, right? In the din daraisa was already tipastam kechardel. If that were the case, you shouldn't have gris va'od by ksamim. That's not going to change because the machmir requires shiva nekiyim. Yeah.
Let's say you're 2 days in the Shiva Nikiyim, you find a three-day-old
blood stain. Generally speaking, you can't tell that it's 3 days old. You have no idea how old it is.
Okay, Okay, let's say you
But you're right.
Into the Shiva Nikayam, and you can tell the day old.
Let me say the following. If you look at a stain, you can tell it's a month old based upon the coloration or something else about it. You don't have to worry about it.
Right.
But normally you can't.
Well, let's say it's dry and you're only a few hours into the Shiva Nikayam, so you know that it wasn't from 2 hours ago.
So, I don't know, Mistama, if you have to know whether it happened before. Now, if all you had was a Hefsek Tara, and now it's 3 days into Shiva Nikayam, and now you find a 2-day-old stain, so Lechora, you have to start over, not because you're afraid that you bled today, but because we're Choshesh that you bled already 2 days ago, you have to be Choshesh, then you need a Hefsek Tara again. So if you did a Bedika every day, you could then count, you know, the last time you did a Bedika, well, you're sure it was after the Kesem, as the Hefsek Tara. But it will set you back in theory.
Well, let's say it's the night, you just did Hefsek Tara, it's like 2 hours in.
And you find a Kesem that's
clearly not from 3 hours ago.
Okay, so then that's like finding a Kesem that's a month old, as far as you're concerned.
So you wouldn't be kosher?
I think not. I mean, it seems to push to Svara. Okay, so now continue. Okay, so this is a Gemara. It's a basic Gemara in the first parak in the sugyos of Dayashaita, where Ksamim are very much tied to the issue of whether she's Mochzakes Bero Adam. That's really the question. And there is a machlokus in the Gemara whether the kesem after the second ri'ah or the third ri'ah is tmeah. In other words, when is she mochzekes beroa? And many chachmei svarim hold that after the ri'ah shlishis, she's mochzekes beroa dab, and therefore the kesem is tmeah. There is, now, the Ramban says what? Go ahead, Ramban kosav. All right. So first, you have to understand the Rashba said that she's mosakas baroa after three times. Now, why would anybody have thought that you need four times, Yehuda?
Three times to be machshir her to be roa, basically, and the fourth time is the ketem.
No, it's kesem after four periods.
I mean, the fifth ketem is
not ketem. She's roa four times. Separate occasions.
Yeah.
However you define it, that's the next discussion, which I don't want to deal at length. Let's assume like the Rama for the moment. She has four different vestos, four different periods. And then, after the fourth period, at some point, if subsequently, before she gets another period, she gets a kesem, that's mitamehar. So the Ramban and Rashi and Tosfos say after the fourth. The Rashba disagree. The Rashba insisted that it was after three. Now, why would you have said after four? So the Rashba assumed that someone would say after four because in order to be koveya a veses haflagos, how many ri'os do you need? So what is a veses haflagos? There are two main, most women only are going to experience one of two kinds of vestos, either an interval of days or day of the month that it happened. In other words, in the dinim of vestos that we are going to learn after the midterm, if a woman normally gets her period every 28 days, let's say like clockwork, then every 28 days, there's one ona, one 12 or 24-hour period, depending on who you hold like, where the woman and when the husband and wife have to be poresh mitashmash. Why? That's called prishas haveses. Now, the two typical kinds of vestos is either she sees every 28 days, or she sees, or let's have a better example, every 32 days, or she sees every 10th of the month, the 10th of Nisan, and the 10th of Iyar, and the 10th of Sivan, and the 10th of Tammuz, and so on. Now, in order for something to be called a veses kavua, it has to happen three times. So in order to be kovea a veses, for that she sees every 32 days, how many times does she have to get her period? Say it louder.
Four.
Why? Because a haflaga depends upon two ri'os. To get a veses the day of the month, you only need three times. To get a veses ha-haflago, that's called a veses ha-chodesh. To get a veses ha-haflagos, you're required to have four ri'os. The only way you can get a veses kavua. So anyway, the Rashba says, that's only relevant to vestos, but that has nothing to do with ksamim. Lach zika baroa, it's enough to have three ri'os. Okay. Later on, when the Rush talks about this issue, he doesn't make it explicit, but he doesn't distinguish at all between Vesas, and he quotes about being Roash Shalosh, Riyash Lishis, and the Rush doesn't make any comment about different kinds of Vestos, leading the Beis Yosef to conclude that, of course, the Rush agrees with the Rashba, because he doesn't say, by Vestas HaFlago, be after the fourth Riyah. Now, this is a very odd comment of the Beis Yosef. Why? Because why is it that the Ramban and Rashi and Tosfos disagree with the Rashba and Chachmei Svarad? It's not because of Vesas HaFlagos. Of course they agree. It's all, the whole issue here, of course you only need three Re'eos. You want to be Masaka Beroa. Except that the Ramban says that the first time she bleeds, we just regard as being haphazard. It's the first time she's ever bleeding. So that's considered Arai. After that, when she bleeds three times, she's now Masaka Beroa. You can ask, why not say Lemafreya? You see that it was part of that. Not our issue right now. Okay, but the point is that it is a chiddush. It's a big chiddush. I'm not arguing that. But you look at their language, they say it. The language of the Ramban is that Eina Ela B'mikra V'arai V'Eina Ru'uya Litzarif. So if that's what they hold, then the fact that the Rush doesn't talk about Vesas HaFlagos versus Vesas HaChodesh, that doesn't mean anything. Because if you hold like Rashi, Tosfos, and Ramban, you just believe that the first time a girl bleeds when she hits nothing, that's just arbitrary. And that can't even count towards the Rios. After that, she's now in the parasha being Rodam, and three times should be sufficient. Okay. Anyway, it's not really the Maisa for us. We don't have people getting married that young. We hope not. Continue. She's Mukzakes to be Roa, and her Kesem is Tame. This is Shitas Rashi, but it sounds from Rashi as the Beis Yosef point out that if she's bleeding and she stops for a couple hours and bleeds again, that counts as two times. The Rambam is, to me, much more mistaber. The Rambam says it means she gets her vesa, she gets her period, three separate occasions. It means a good number of days apart, let's put it that way. Okay, then continue. V'nyesh.
Nashru.
So the Rashba says, this whole din is only by when she's a katana, shalohi giyas manaliros. However, once she becomes ruya liros, once she becomes a nara, a gedola, then she is, even if she's never bled before, if she finds a kesem, she is tamea. What is the definition of becoming a nara? A gedola, two requirements are needed. Shanim v'simanim. Rashi here claims, the Beis Yosef implies. Rashi implies that you only need shanim, even if she hasn't brought simanim. Now the Rashba himself says, if you haven't done a bedika, mistama, we assume for many purposes, certainly all the Rabbanans, we assume that a Katan or Ktana has brought Shtei Saros. But Daraisas, we can have a different discussion. I think Bismanazeh, I think we are Mako probably to assume him in Daraisa. The Mitzias, I think, is almost all cases Ketanim. So the Ketanim, you know, by the time they reach the age of Bar Mitzvah, have brought Shtei Saros. We don't have to do Badika. But that's a discussion to be had. Now, some people probably mock it by Parsha Zohar, for example, not to have, a Bar Mitzvah boy read for that reason. But okay. But Rashi here seems to say that even with Shana that Simanim is sufficient. The Beis Yosef thinks it's very dachuk, but fine. Note here also in this discussion, the Beis Yosef points out, the term will be used here, Besula. When the term Besula is used in Nida, in the first parak, it has nothing to do with being a virgin, not being a virgin. It's a Besulas Domim. It's that she hasn't yet gotten her period. It doesn't matter whether she's a ba'ula, whether she's actually a virgin or not, totally irrelevant. All that matters is whether or not she has gotten her period. Where? That's his whole point. Well, where are you reading?
It's regardless of that case is using ba'ula as an actual virgin.
Yes, when you say lo shna b'sula shamula, is when the Mishnah says that arba nashim dayan shaitan. You know, zakena, menika, muberis, and besula. Besula, that doesn't mean she's a virgin. It means besula's damim. It means bein besula, bein ba'ula, yes, in the colloquial sense. Okay, and finally, let's read just Dalid. All right, so this is a din that we'll see more a little bit in Vestos. There are more details, the Beis Yosef quotes, but if she stops bleeding, she doesn't get a period for 90 days, she is essentially, if she is lo higiyas man aliros, then we assume that whatever bleeding came before was sort of flukish, and then we go back to her, she's considered a besulas damim again. Okay, there are more details than that. If you really want, you can read the Beis Yosef. Okay. All right, so we'll stop here. We'll assume right now there is shear tomorrow. If I decide that I see things are sort of going well, it would be beneficial to everybody to just have another hour and a half to sort of plow through and take a short lunch. So then we'll decide that in the morning. But for right now, let's assume that there actually will be a regular shear, regular actual shear tomorrow.